This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast. And this is David Duke on this eve of Christmas Eve of 2005. And this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Worldwide Broadcast, broadcasting live all over the globe, as Bob Whitaker often says, as clear as a bell. I'm in now parts of Europe, and there's quite a snowstorm raging outside. In fact, I've got to travel another 75 kilometers tonight. In spite of the fact that I don't really care that much for the healthy qualities of McDonald's food, I'm at a McDonald's doing this broadcast because they are one place that has pretty good internet access. So I guess I can say something positive about this international globalist company in that they offer internet access. And isn't it amazing that we have such a tremendous process going on? Not only do we have high-speed internet in our homes and offices in so many parts of the world, but now we also, of course, have Wi-Fi. We have wireless operation where we can use our own computers, our own email, to receive messages and really get whatever we want on a high-speed basis. And it's quite amazing. Here in Europe, in most places, internet access like this is not free. But it's still a fantastic and powerful resource, and I'm doing this program right now from a facility, from a facility that offers wireless internet. Sometimes I have to go quite a distance to find the facility that offers this kind of service, but that's becoming less and less of a problem with time. The internet offers us a tremendous opportunity to really go forward and to reach so many people. And soon we'll be having download media, download movies, in addition to the broadcast that we're going to do. On this broadcast, and because I don't do this program on the weekends, at the end I'm going to give you a new version of a Christmas message from yours truly, David Duke. And I hope that you enjoy it at the end of this broadcast. I hope that this broadcast reaches a lot of people around the world. And I see we're getting a lot of people online right now listening. And I appreciate very much the fact that people can listen to this archive, so they can listen to this program all weekend and even beyond, even into the years ahead. And that's a tremendous power, you know, on-demand broadcasts, on-demand information. And each program has different topics that we, you know, basically center upon. And the fact that we do these shows that way gives a fantastic opportunity for people to shore up their knowledge on certain issues, and I'll try to share the knowledge I have with you. I'm going to share with you a few emails today first. I think it's an appropriate time to do it. And the first one's a kind of a cute one. His name is Robert. He says, "Hello, Dr. Duke. I'm a huge supporter of yours. I'm 19 years old. I've been an avid reader of your website and columns since I was 13. I've had the luxury of receiving a purebred Alaskan Malamute puppy for a Christmas gift. My parents asked me what I wanted to name him, and since this breed is a fan of the cold European weather, I thought of you. I said I wanted a strong name, something that represented white pride and all that I believe in. I decided on Duke, David Duke." Encloses a picture of the puppy. "I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Dr. Duke." Well, I can tell you, there's worse things than having a dog named after you, and I appreciate the thought and the consideration, Robert, and I wish your fine dog a great life, and you really have a great life yourself. You're 19. I hope that you will take your life and make it have meaning. Never in the history of our people, never has an individual such as yourself lived in a more critical time, not only for our people's freedom, but for their very existence, their heritage, everything that really is important to us in this world. The decisions that are being made now by people like yourself, whether to get involved in this movement, whether to dedicate yourself to this movement or not, are the decisions that well determine whether our people survive or whether we are ethnically cleansed from our own nations and driven to extinction on this planet. Right now, the low birth rates of our people, the high intermarriage rates, the massive immigration rates, and under democracy, of course, the majority rules. When we become a minority, then the policies, I can promise you, will be even more draconian against the interest and the heritage of our people. I say these things not because I hate other people. In fact, I've traveled all over the world, and I have many friends of different cultures and heritages around the world whom I respect. One of the gentlemen who supported me when I ran for governor of Louisiana was James Meredith. Now, James Meredith is at one time the icon of the civil rights movement, but James Meredith came to believe that forced integration of races was not a good thing, either for black people or for white people. And I grew to respect this man a lot. And he was a person who wanted to preserve his own race as an African American, and he recognized that I had the same right as a European American. And how can you have a problem with that? I certainly don't. In fact, you know, I was very honored to have his support, and it was kind of interesting that he did support me in that race. And I can tell you something, he underwent a tremendous amount of criticism. I mean, because he was an icon of the civil rights movement, there were many places that wanted to put statues up of this man and name college chairs after him and different funds and everything after him. But because he supported David Duke, he became less than a cause celeb among the so-called civil rights movement. But he realized that civil rights didn't necessarily mean affirmative action programs, which are really nothing more than racial discrimination against members of the white majority. Anyway, I'm going to go on, but again, we must preserve our heritage. We have a right to do it, and we must work on that. This is from Russell, and he writes, "Congratulations on your triumphant trip to Syria. To some extent, I agree with you on Zionism. May I ask you a question for an article I'm writing? In his new book, Al-Qaeda in Europe, Lorenzo Vadino reports on contact between white power advocates and Islamic terrorists. For instance, they share financiers and meet at Holocaust denial conferences." And first off, I don't believe in any of that, and I've never met a single individual that had any contact with any so-called terrorists in the United States of America, and with any terrorists in the Middle East or whatever. And I really believe that such activities are not only morally wrong, but they absolutely destroy and devastate our movement. I think this is propaganda from some of these wild sorts that exist in the Jewish media. They're unsubstantiated, and they're just about as substantiated as the so-called contacts between Iraq, all right, between Iraq and the so-called Iraqi agents and Al-Qaeda that have proved to be absolutely bogus and incorrect. Now, Ravenhawk writes, and this is kind of interesting, he writes and he prints an article by Israel Shamir. Israel Shamir is a person of Jewish descent, an Israeli who fought in the Israeli army and has, you know, his absolutely Jewish descent and so forth. He's no longer a person of Jewish religion. And he noticed and he read my articles in Syria and the response to my trip, plus he heard my interviews there, apparently, through the internet. And he says a lot of nice things, and I appreciate that very much. I know he can pay a price for saying anything positive about me. But he says, quote, "David Duke, whatever his positions in the past, became a man many Americans listened to. He's a clear and unequivocal voice against the criminal invasion of Iraq, against criminal plans of Washington and Tel Aviv to attack Syria and Iran. Duke cleaned up his act. And his appearance in Damascus was impressive. He spoke clearly and with vision." Well, that's pretty great. I met him at the International Anti-Zionist Conference in Kyiv, Ukraine, and I have a lot of respect for the gentleman for sure. Certainly, I believe that we may have differences of opinion on certain things, obviously, but he is very courageous, and he's just recently been fined, and the French courts have gone after him and are trying to imprison him for some of his works. This gentleman, Herb Smith, says, "Dr. Duke, not sure where exactly stand 9/11, but the evidence clearly shows the WTC buildings were brought down by explosive, with WTC 7 being most obvious. I'd like to call your attention to a recent paper by BYU professor Stephen Jones. Well, I've read most of that material on the 9/11 and if there were charges placed in the building. I really believe that whether they're true or not, and I tend not to believe that they're true. There's a lot of reasons for that. I don't want to go into that. I think we should spend our time on preserving our heritage, stopping the invasion across our borders, exposing international Jewish supremacism, and whatever. Even if the buildings were attacked by whom the government says they were attacked, and I think that they were, actually, I certainly have a belief in my own mind that Israel may well have been behind these attacks. I don't state that as a fact, but I have some reasons to think that there could have been Israeli involvement. They've infiltrated most of these movements. But even beyond that, these attacks certainly would have taken place because of the policy directed by these Jewish extremists in the United States and the Middle East. We supported the criminal state of Israel, the terrorizing and the driving out of about 1 million Palestinian people, the brutal occupation of the West Bank and Gaza for over 3.5 decades. We're talking about mass torture. We're talking about mass murder. We're talking about a war criminal, Ariel Sharon, being the premier. And America supported this tooth and nail. And certainly it was these policies that brought on the hatred. And there's a lot of hatred against America around the world today. And I understand the hatred. I can't defend. In fact, I would absolutely condemn in the harshest terms. And I think those who blew up the World Trade Center and slaughtered all those people, that they should endure the worst punishment. So that's just the way it is, but I tend not to believe in the idea that the charges in the center. I think crashing two huge airliners full of people into the buildings were enough. I don't think they had to bring the buildings down. I think that was the worldwide attention for 2 or 3 days, whether or not the buildings came down. Now it's overkill. And the massive number of people, just in my mind, the massive number of people needed to wire every floor of these buildings. And by the way, if you watch these buildings collapse, they collapse floor by floor by floor by floor, kind of like the way the Titanic collapsed, to wire every floor that way. And you see, that's not the way they blow up buildings in Las Vegas or elsewhere around the country. They blow up the bottom floor, and the building falls down basically as one unit and crumbles, you know, from the weight of the building. This building came down floor, 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 and built up a momentum as the floors began to collapse from the top, which I believe came from the massive heat. You know, I'm sorry I even brought up my opinion about this. You know, we don't have to have the same opinion on everything. I respect Christopher Bolin as a man I respect tremendously. He has a different opinion on the World Trade Center than I do. We share probably 90% of our opinions on things, but we have a different opinion on this particular aspect. But at the same time, I'm just expressing my opinion, and I think I'd rather talk about the factors of our international policy, which has brought about this international hatred against America, and the fact that Americans are threatened and endangered around the world because of it. Now, that to me is important. I got a nice letter from Gerald here, who came down and helped us during the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. He said, "Greetings, white brother. Received the Duke Report today in the mail. Once again, a great job on exposing the hidden truth. The connections you make for people, I believe, are effective in opening eyes. Greater things cannot be issued for me in regard to your kind words. After helping the storm, I'm greatly honored to be mentioned, and I was very happily surprised to see the photos. I can think of no greater cause to be associated with than the truth." He said, "I hope all's well with you. And my wife just made 10 weeks with the twins. If all is well, in two or three more weeks, chances are 95% there will be no complications." Well, let me tell you, Gerald, I wish you the best and your wife the best, and I hope those twins are healthy. I really believe they will be, and it's just wonderful to think that you're bringing war and beautiful life into the world. Our people need that, and that's one of the ways that we fight for this cause, is not only to stand up for our principles, but to have children and to continue our line on this earth. And obviously you're doing that, and you and your wife, you know, you deserve all of our appreciation, as everyone out there listening who has a child on the way or has children now and who wants some in the future. That's so critical. He says, "Your site and letter show you're very busy, and no greater appreciation could be stated, nor how much your supporters are behind you. Live knowing that what you're doing in truth is not vain, and those in the know are with you wherever they may be. Keep up the great fight with confidence. truthful are behind, with, and for you. He said, have a great and merry Christmas and a wonderful and prosperous new year. Wish you would have sent a physical address so I could send you a card. Still well if you send an address. The best of you until your next correspondence. Brother in Truth, G.W. Well, Gerald, thank you so much for that kind note. And again, I say Merry Christmas to everyone, and I hope everyone has a great new year. You know, I've been on the road. I wasn't even able to send Christmas cards the first year in many years that I wasn't. And those of you listening, please forgive the fact that I've not been able to send out Christmas cards this year. And I don't have a physical address, Gerald, right now, because I've been on the road and working hard and meeting a lot of people and doing a lot of important issues for our cause. So I continue to do that now. I'm far away from home. I got to drive another 75 kilometers tonight in this driving snowstorm. And yes, I will be careful. And this is a good, interesting gentleman, and he's writing us from. I'll give you his last name. It's Ganakanoff, and he's a PhD. He says, I resonate with many of your thoughts that you lay down in your articles on different internal and external issues of American politics. Those are very well argumented and based on facts. I'm a physicist by training. I graduated from the prestigious universities in the world and in the former Soviet Union, Moscow State University, which of course it is, and had a great opportunity to interact with leading scientists in Europe and the United States, Western nations as well as Russia, and primarily scientists of Western European origin contributed a lot into science and technology advances of the 20th century. This is indisputable. And he goes on and he says a lot of interesting things in the article. I can't go through it entirely, but he talks about some of the Jewish domination in some of the scientific areas today. And he says, he's talking about the fact that a lot of advances are not being acted upon properly. He says that the federal granting agencies, which means taxpayers' money, are being monopolized by a group of scientists of predominantly Jewish origin. It's almost a rarity to meet a professor, scholar, in leading American universities who is a non-Jew who did not have a Jewish advisor. And he goes on and talks about the fact that, he says, in my opinion, science and technology in the world and the U.S. are at crossroads with major inventions and discoveries behind us. We continue to see breakthroughs and applications, but it's clear to me that the tendency, however, is greatly losing its momentum from day to day. That's pretty interesting. But you know, we will certainly see about that. And appreciate your letter. I'll try to comment it more next time. But I'm kind of running out of time here on this particular program. This is from Sean. He says, "Thank you for your continuing work. I listen to your radio program every day, and currently listen to your interview with Naval Kabbalan. I have to say, the reception by the Syrian government people is an inspiring example of how our foreign policy in the region would be if our government were not beholden to Zionist operatives. I truly appreciate your work in this effort, and I pray that one day you'll choose to return to public service. In the meantime, I wish you a merry and blessed Christmas, and may God preserve and encourage you as you continue your important work on behalf of our people. Sincerely, Sean." And he quotes Kierkegaard. He says, "It requires moral courage to grieve, but it requires religious courage to rejoice." Interesting quote, and very good. Here's another good guy, Ryan. He sends a nice note for Christmas. We got a lot here. And got a little note on occupied Washington. And we got a lot. I just don't know exactly which ones to use because I just don't have enough time. I tell you what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm almost out of time for the program. So now, let me go to what I promised. And I want to give you my 2005 rendition of a Christmas message that I actually wrote in 2004, but obviously it's like a Christmas carol that's sung every year. I believe that certain messages and certain issues can certainly be very applicable to our cause each year and each time. Well, let me share it with you and find out what you think about it, and we'll go from there. Here it is. The name of this is O Silent Night, O Holy Night, a Christmas message. Christmas is the most holy day for the European people, wherever we are in the world, from Siberia to San Francisco, from Alaska to Auckland. Christmas is even more than a religious moment. For our forefathers took up the Christian faith and expressed its motif in the very art, heart, and soul of what we call Western civilization. Today, Christmas has even been transcended that motif. For Christmas has become about all that we celebrate as Europeans. After its Christian symbolism, it is foremost about family, roots, and community. It is no accident that it closely coincides with the even more ancient European celebration of solstice. For solstice is the celebration of the nadir of winter, and the warmth and beauty and light to come. And certainly it is the most meaningful day of the year for all Europeans, Protestant or Catholic, Christian or Norse, believer or non-believer. For on this day, we are all believers in a sense. We are believers in goodness, in beauty, in nature, in love, in the bright faces of our children and the angelic light reflected from their eyes and hair. All the way through Christmas is the expression of life, from the birth of the Savior to the symbol of life and nature expressed in our fragrant evergreen Christmas trees, to the sheer joy on the faces of our children, to the ruddy-faced, white-bearded Santa Claus in his red, brightened costume of the far north. An apt symbol is Father Christmas, for he is like the archetypical grandfather of our people. European legend has him coming from the northern icy regions, and that symbolizes the ancestral home of our people. In fact, our race was fashioned and honed in the crucible of the last great ice age and the fierce weather that ruled over Europe 40,000 years ago. The archetypical European Santa comes to us in the dead of winter and in the dead of night to bring us gifts of love and joy and hope. For all of us in the movement, dedicated to the life and freedom of our people, Christmas should be a holy day, and Christmas Eve a holy night, a silent night of wonder, beauty, and meaning. The most daunting enemy of our people is hopelessness and despair. We who are fully aware of the ongoing genocide of our folk across the world, the onrushing death of the West and the people of the West, sometimes seek to lessen the hurt in our heart of hearts by the solace of alcohol or what is but a mass addiction to the great spectator sports in the Western world. Anything, it seems, to get our minds off the mind-numbing prospect of the destruction and extinction of all we hold close to our hearts. But those who have written off the European American people will be surprised in the next decade, for a great awakening is now stirring among our folk. The same genes that gave us our ancient heroes and artisans, commanders and poets, are still within us. They are still in the soul and the sinew of our children. It is our sacred task to touch those genes, to touch the hearts and minds of our people, and bring them to the truth, and ultimately to life again. As solstice, Christmas, is the nadir of winter, so this movement in history is the nadir, this moment in history is the nadir of our people. But the winter winds of death will be replaced soon with the warm spring breeze of life and renewal. We've been given the gifts of Christmas. One gift we have is the internet, by which our people can communicate wherever they are in the world in an instant, a gift that I'm now using to speak these thoughts and spiritual values with you, to share with you. We now have the ability to get the truth out to our brethren at the speed of light wherever our people dwell on the earth. Right now, as you read or hear these words, there are teenage boys and girls in their own homes around the world who hear these words along with you. and these words sing to their hearts as they do sing to mine. What is the song we sing? It is a song of love of family and folk. It is a song of life and freedom. It is the song of beauty and achievement. It is a song our people have sung in their hearts from the time they emerged from the snow mists and brought civilization to the earth. It is a song that we shall sing as we awaken, and it's a song that will stir the hearts of our descendants, even as they travel to the infinite stars. Have no fear, my brethren. This is the winter solstice of our people. The spring will not be far behind, if only you keep the faith. Keep the beauty for which we strive in your hearts. Contemplate these things in the silence of Christmas Eve, and celebrate them in the unrestrained joy of Christmas Day with family and friends, for these days are your days. Make them meaningful. O silent night, O holy night, let the love of kith and kin fill our hearts, and let these days renew us and rededicate us to our heritage and to our freedom. This has been David Duke. Merry Christmas, and to all, a good night. This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.